I navigated the detour, the route, all of that stuff. The art festival could be here at this place, and I'm just glad about it. So anybody will just put your hands together. Yeah. If you don't mind, I won't be before you long, but I think this is a word from the Lord for the people of God. If you don't mind to turn to, I'm deviating a slight bit, just a slight bit, from the scripture that you all chose to take to Hebrews 11. Thank you, God. God started dealing with me a couple weeks ago about this matter of faith when I looked at the fact that the thing was stepping out. What is it, stepping out on faith? Amen. So he started dealing with me about this matter of faith, and it was a very interesting conversation that we had. The thing about speaking, teaching, whatever you want to call what you do, you have to, if you want to get a word from the Lord, you have to deal with him, and he has to deal with you before it can be delivered. And so he certainly dealt with me about the matter of faith. If you all don't mind, can you all read together Hebrews 11 and 1? Try one more time together. Hebrews 11 and 1 says,
"Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen."
Amen. If I were just to put a tag on my little Easter speech today, I would call it that kind of faith. I would call it that kind of faith. And if I were to do a subtopic, I would say, "I got the keys." Can you all look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm Baptist. I got the keys." Amen. I was looking at the scripture. Amen. I was looking at the scripture for today. You all stay with me because I'm going to be down so quick. You'll miss it if you miss it. I was looking at the scripture that you all use as kind of a theme when thinking about the idea of stepping out in faith. And it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by whom? The Lord. And he delights in his way." It came from Psalms 37 and 23. I was thinking about what it really means to step out in faith. Because as you all know, anybody that's been in church any amount of time knows that if there's anything that we talk about ad nauseum, anything that we harp on, anything that we emphasize, anything that we go over and over and over and over, it's faith, right? We quote the scripture that you all just read for me. We say, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we cut a shout just on the scripture that defines faith. Once we get to that evidence of things not seen, we might take off in a dance. But the Lord challenged me to really think about what it means to have faith in God. And I said, "Lord, that's kind of, you know, that's not very exciting. Because, you know, everybody knows about faith, right? That's why we go to church, right? That's why we come in Sunday after Sunday, right? That's why we're always shouting, hollering, and singing, and preaching, right? Because we know what faith in God is. In fact, it is our faith that brings us to God. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when we hear the call of God on our life, calling us from darkness into his marvelous light, that is the beginning of our exposure to faith. But when I talked to God about it, he said, yes, it may seem like a subject that has already been talked about. It may seem like something that people who have been in church all their lives ought to know about. They really don't understand faith. So I'll be honest with you all, I begin to question myself. Sister Miller, I said, "Well, do I know about faith? When's the last time that I really thought about what faith meant? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." I go over to Hebrews 11 and 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You ought to mind if I take you with me on my process, right? So when I looked at "now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen," I know that there's some people in the house that know that when you have to give a presentation around a subject, you usually find a word that really speaks to you. And what really spoke to me, I said, if I put this scripture on a board, and I did, in my house, what's the word that really jumps out at me? I wrote it on the board and went to sleep. Woke up, did my normal thing, came home from work, stood and looked at the board, And it was hope. And I said, well, Lord, I really want to be dramatic about this because they already said that the keynote idea is about stepping out in faith. And I really want to be thematic about this and look at Psalms 37 and 23, talking about the steps of a good man being ordered by the Lord. But he said, be thematic and do what I tell you. And think about the word hope. What is hope? I thought about, as I considered the idea of hope, that nothing quite captures what I think about when I think about hope, that a book that was written by then Senator Barack H. Obama, who became, as you all know, the 44th president of the United States, when he wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. The Audacity of Hope. First Lady Pam, I thought that was an interesting topic. I thought that was an interesting title, The Audacity of Hope. And I realized, because I have a lot of friends who are authors, that usually when someone writes a book, maybe Sister Angela and Sister Rashawn can help me with this, they usually start out with a central thought. And that central thought leads them to expound on it in a book. It never starts out as the whole book, but it starts out as a central idea, something that you want to get through. Is that right? Well, then Senator Barack Obama was a member of a church that was pastored by Jeremiah Wright. In the 80s, Jeremiah Wright went to a speaking engagement, a lecture that was put on by a man named Frederick Sampson. Are you with me? When he went to this lecture, Jeremiah Wright saw that Dr. Sampson was analyzing a picture by an artist named G.F. Watts. Remember that name, you really should look it up because the picture is a blessing. Dr. Sampson, young Jeremiah Wright is in the audience listening to Dr. Sampson, who's analyzing a picture by G.F. Watts, and the name of the painting is, guess what? Hope. And in the painting, if you were to Google it right now, in fact, and you have permission to do so, in the painting there is a woman who is broken and bloody. That's the literal picture, if you have a chance to Google it, by G.F. Watts. There's a picture of a woman who is sitting down, she's broken, she's bandaged, she's bleeding, and there's one star in the sky. And as this woman sits broken, bleeding, tied up, bound, she has behind her an interesting thing, it's a harp. But the harp only has one string. So we've got a woman, watch this, because you don't want to miss this. We've got a woman, broken, Evangelist Johnson, bound up, tied, sitting down, somewhat dejected. There's one star in the sky, and she's got a harp behind her, but the harp only has one string. About this analyzation of G.F. Watts' picture, Hope, Dr. Jeremiah Wright came back to Chicago and gave a sermon on the subject of that painting. And he said this in part, please listen, with her clothes in rags, her body scarred and bruised and bleeding, her heart all but destroyed with one single string left, she had the audacity to make music and praise God. She had the nerve, while broken and battered, can anybody relate to that? Bruised and battered, broken, sitting down, dejected, left alone, nobody there, one star in the sky, one string on her heart, and yet she had the audacity to hope. So Barack liked it. He was sitting in the audience with his wife, Michelle, then Senator Barack Hussein Obama liked it, and he borrowed the phrase used by Pastor Ryan and adapted it a bit. He went from the audacity to hope and called his book The Audacity of Hope. And this was the idea that grabbed attention in 2008 when he was standing there talking to the Democratic Party. He went from being Senator Barack Obama to president, the first black president of the United States of America. But what you may have missed if you only came in at that point is that he really started out as a half black, half white boy in Hawaii with white grandparents, a Kenyan father who was not present, a white mother who would eventually die on him at a young age, and went from that to Harvard University, to the streets of Chicago, from the streets of Chicago to the Senate, from the Senate to the Democratic National Convention, and from there to the highest office in the land. And on the way there, he learned a lesson from a woman in a picture by G.F. Watts, where she was broken and battered, bruised and torn apart, bandages on her, sitting down all alone, one star, one string on her heart, and she dared to hope. What does it mean to have audacity? We'll go back to Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things what?
Hope for.
And the evidence of things not seen. It takes some nerve to believe in what you can't see. Tell your neighbor, it takes nerve to believe in what you can't see, and to sing Zion songs in a strange land, and then to sing it with a heart behind you, with just one string and nobody to play it, and one star in the sky, but you got something on the inside of you that dares to hope. The audacity, the nerve of a young mulatto mixed breed, y'all know what they call us, right? Who didn't know his Kenyan father, raised by his white grandparents, to think that he could go to the highest office in the land. That's the audacity of hope. The audacity of a washwoman making 50 cents a day in Mississippi and now has a whole scholarship. Her name is Osceola McCarthy, because she saved 50 cents every day for so many years that she put 8 people through college who she didn't even know. The audacity of hope. The nerve of a Southern Baptist preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, at Crozer Theological Seminary, then on to Morehouse College in Atlanta, and then on to become Dr. Martin Luther King, the drum major for peace. The audacity of hope. Now faith. Now faith, Jackie, is the substance of things hoped for. Mother, the evidence of things I can't see. You want to know what faith looks like? You want to know what kind of blessing is attached to faith? 5 more minutes and I'm out of your way. I'll get over to John 20, and then I promise I'm going to bring it home. John 20, Jesus, the newly resurrected Christ, had just come from being beaten up Golgotha's hill, hung at a place called Calvary, died buried in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb, raised from the dead so that when the women ran over to put some spice on him and get him together for the ground, they met an angel who said, he's not here, but he's risen, just like you said. After Jesus got up and got them grave clothes off, he went into the city and met in the upper room with the disciples. The disciples couldn't believe what they were seeing, because y'all got to remember the disciples had been through hell too. They had been through seeing him taken from them, scattered all over the city and dejected, and yet they stood in the upper room and looked to see a risen Savior. The problem was everybody was there but one. You know, there's always that one that misses everybody. Thomas wasn't there, so when the disciples saw Thomas, Brother Gerald, they said, Thomas, you ain't gonna believe this. Jesus is alive. He rose just like he said. Well, Thomas said, y'all can go on and tell me what you want to tell me, but I won't believe it until I can handle him. I won't believe it until I can put my hands in his side. I won't believe it until I can touch the palm of his hand. So Jesus did a funny thing. He didn't say, well, hey, I'm Jesus. I ain't got to convince nobody. I know who I am. I'll soon be on the right hand of the Father. When is the last time when it looked real crazy? It didn't look right. It didn't look like it was going to happen. But all you had was the word from the Lord. And they talked about you. They said you were delusional, half crazy, something wrong with you. You were holy roller. And does anybody in here got that kind of faith? Does anybody have that faith where you really don't know what's going to happen next? You ain't got no guarantees. You like the Hebrew boys. I don't even know if he will do it.
You have to know.
yourself as a worldwide entrepreneur, Rashawn, when they only just see a local business. To believe that you have a master's degree, Talena, when you just now struggling through your first semester. To believe what God told you, with no exception. How many of you in here want to have that kind of faith? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Come on. Because it is in the midst of your faith, you have not lived. Let me tell you something critical, and then I'm in my seat. You have not lived if you never had a crisis of faith. You have not lived. I almost say you ain't saved. Almost. But you have not lived until you have a crisis of faith. What's a crisis of faith? I'm glad you asked. Where life and faith intersect. Where life and faith intersect. When you walk out of church Sunday morning, you're doing good, you got the word on your mind, and boom! That showing off chat. Boom! That neighbor that gets on your nerve. Boom! The job that you're ready to quit. That bank account that looks negative all the time. When life and faith intersect, that is a crisis of belief. And let me tell you what Henry Blackaby said in his book, Experiencing God. You will find out what you believe about God in Christ. Y'all think that you can find out what you believe about God when everything is going well? You got money, your boo is acting right, your children are sweet, school is great, home is great, everything's fine. But that's not when you find out. You find out when faith and life intersect. If y'all believe it, ask John the Baptist, who was in jail, and sent two of his disciples and said, I want y'all to ask Jesus, is he the one, or should I look for another? Because he's like, now this ain't how this was supposed to be. I set up in that wilderness, ate that wild honey, people talked about me, I baptized Jesus myself, I was talking to y'all, and I saw Jesus coming by, and I said, behold, there goes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and now I'm in jail. Because a lot of us have faith that only works when nothing's going on. But a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. A faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. My sisters, I came to say one thing to you today. If you didn't get nothing else out of it, trust me when I tell you, now is the time for the warring women. Now is the time for the women in Zion. Now is the time for us to stand up. Not tomorrow, right now. How many of you all believe God for something that you can't see? No, for real, not to keep stuff. For real, how many of you believe God? If you can't take being talked about, this ain't for you. If you can't take people talking and saying that you're too good for them, this ain't for you. But the minute that you say, Lord, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to trust you until I see it. If I never see it, you're still God, you're still sovereign, and I'm going to say it about it. Now faith is the substance. That's in your hand. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. I would encourage you all to believe God until the wheels fall off, and then you get out of that wheelless car to walk and believe. And then your fingers hard to crawl and believe. All you got to do is do what John said, only believe.
I say amen to. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for this panel of justice and saints. I love seeing you, we go way back and way back. And I'm grateful for that, all of these ladies, to see you in this room, to see you out, to see you in the valley, to see you. We're blessed. We're truly blessed. Make sure, Lord, if I have us, bring a friend. Bring two.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.